Yeah, and I think procedurally, I think what we had talked about and kind of what came out of the joint meeting was the idea that at some point our work ends, we make a recommendation, we have a framework in that recommendation, and then each of the organizations basically establish a 2x2x2 and actually begin to work towards the path that they want to go down to implement this. And that it buys some time. It doesn't preclude organizations beginning to work together. Essentially, some of that organizational work should start to happen. There's no reason for it to lag behind. But in the meantime, it does create some time for those organizations to begin to work together, and it begins a process to say to the community, you know, we have a vision of where we're going. Here's where you're going to start to participate. But we're going to want feedback now. I mean, we're starting to think about emergency services in a bigger way than we've thought about it in a long time. So, you know, what do you think? What's your expectations? What are you willing to pay for? I mean, I think that part of the discussion with the electorate is important before you start really marching towards a ballot measure.
Yeah, the ballot measures are just steps towards
right.
whatever
the
end goal.
Yeah.
Whatever the end goal is. And the question we should start with, I think, is what would be the ideal 5 to 10 years down the road that you think would work best for everybody? And of course, it presumes leadership competence at the levels that it has to be in the various organizations that we're talking about, and you can't always predict that. We don't know who the real permanent EMS chief is going to ever be.
You can do better on that than has been done with a PhD.
You know, and I also think that one of the reasons I'm so hot on metrics and measurements and outcomes is if there's reporting requirements to the voters, there's always a reason to go to the voters and say, these guys are not accomplishing this. So it's a way to keep the leadership issue, keep some fire for the leadership issue, and not let it drift into a crisis. Like, crisis drives a lot of things, but there's a way to avoid getting to crisis.
Dick and Karen may know more about this, but my sense is that the whole failure of the PhD to do the job of managing EMS and EMS managing itself was the reason that they couldn't pass...
Two times.
Which, before that, I mean, historically, you know, 20 years ago, you know, you get 70-80% people passing every EMS levy, continuation levy, whatever. I mean, it was easy to get whatever number they wanted. And Frank didn't used to ask for the full amount either. I mean, he was usually kind of, he was a cheapskate, so kept it under the numbers, and everybody thought, oh, well, that's cool. And they just sailed through. Now, they, you know, trying to go for the maximum, you know, failing and stuff like that. It's kind of a vote of no confidence in the PhD board, my sense.
Yeah.
Which, of course, everybody kind of knew because the PhD board's warring with each other on every vote that came up and every discussion and every meeting. Kind of made that clear.
And they levies got turned down
prior.
That's true. That's true. That actually may have been an outcome of... the levy discussions.
It was the outcome of Jim Cole and a board that was paying
no attention.
That wasn't minding the story.
Yeah. So anyway, the whole failure of governance and management of EMS in the is one of the big reasons it's motivated us to meet and talk about moving it. So there's that. Which makes it timely now if everybody still thinks that that's what people think. I mean, you could pass... you know, the levies and whatever it takes to move it into fire right now, because I think everybody still thinks the hospital district's so screwed up. They've messed up management of EMS. Fire's got to be able to do a better job. That's probably an easier sell right now than another lid levy or another, you know, EMS levy or whatever it takes within the current... I think you'd have a better chance, I guess, is what I'm saying, of passing a new EMS levy under fire than you would a continuation levy under the hospital district.
You certainly, I would agree if... Okay.
Personal opinion here, of course.
Given the present management, I would say that's absolutely true. By the time 2022 comes around, the situation will be very different in one way or another.
Right.
And then we'll see where we're at.
Yeah, but I bring that up because of the urgency discussion we had earlier. You could do it now. I don't know that you could do it later.
I don't think you can be pushed. I think it's got to be good.
No, I agree. But I think I flushed out at least some of my struggles.
Well, this is exactly, this was what this...
That's what this was, a workshop on the subject of the decisions we're trying to recommend. So it's good to have this discussion. Fully okay with that.
Yeah, working through the whys is really important. And also that Outer Islands discussion that we had briefly, I'd like to see that fully fleshed out as well, how to handle that issue.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. We don't have the answers to yet, but...
No, but I heard some solutions, and so I think we have to paint what those solutions are. And I believe that when we go down this path, we at least need to make it the most uncumbersome process to get through, and let the, if it is truly recommended for consolidation, then let the consolidation happen and sort through the politics of annexation and all those kinds of things, to the extent that if it can be done rather quickly and you're almost assured that it's going to happen, and this process isn't being held hostage to get completed, then maybe you walk down that path before you walk down the other path.
The, in general, you know, the hows at this point, you know, you guys need to work out the whys, and you're right, the hows are separate issues, except insofar as what you're doing is also part of the value proposition. How you deal with those outer islands is part of the value proposition. You know, in terms of equity to taxpayers in these islands and the taxpayers on those islands. If you're gonna decide to give coverage to the outer islands, that's gonna be expensive people on this island. If you're gonna take away coverage there, then you need to deal with that as well. And that is part of the equity and the value proposition.
My gut disagrees with you slightly. I think the why, I think part of the how is our responsibility. I don't think we tell Norvin or we tell you know, the individual which fire engine to put in which building. But I think the levy, I think the citizens approach, and I think that is part of this goal here. Because if we recommend something that we don't believe is going to have any opportunity to pass, it's a stupid recommendation. And you know what? We shouldn't be recommending. So we should...
Get any argument from me.
We should be pretty assured that we can get to the end point. And we should figure that out for them. So I think that... I think we should... If we really believe annexation, then we should say probably this should happen at this date, this should happen on this date to get it through, so this happens here. Because again, if this thing, if this window becomes a 2 or 3 year window, we're all gone, there is no champion, and then the thing gets halfway started, it could end up imploding worse, and I don't want to see that.
You know, the one thing that occurs to me, because annexation is pretty much orthogonal to the other processes we're talking about in terms of moving EMS and all the rest of that, it's also not dependent on metrics or anything else particularly. It should have a timeline that says, start, you guys go do your annexation thing while we try to get some background data on how things are going and, you know, response times and all the rest of that stuff, because... You know, annexation isn't dependent on any of that. That can happen or not, as the case may be. And if it doesn't, we know now that we're dealing with an unannexed town. And if it does, cool. Now we're dealing with an annexed town. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially a billing question.
So, more or less.
I mean, really.
You know, the funds will flow one way or the other from town to fire district to provide service. I don't think it really matters to us how that happens, except to the extent that it dictates then whether you do EMS levies to try to cover town, or you do a lid lift and cover everybody.
So then my question is, why hasn't it happened? If it's such a point, why hasn't it happened?
You haven't been here long, have you? Would Dick like to take this question?
Well, but it is, because if they're really relying on this process to push that through, then it's doomed to fail.
I don't think they're wrong.
No, I don't think so at all.
I think this process has become an opportunity to fix some things that couldn't have happened at an earlier time.
It's another personality question. First, we had to get past the the 100-year-old fire department in the town of Friday Harbor, having all of its own autonomy, being operated by the town and the town council, and all that stuff. And have you met King Fitch by any chance? Cave-in.
Or before a couple of his predecessors.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could go back farther, but if you don't know King, who is Duncan's predecessor...
Town manager, Rick, played a big role.
It's always personalities, isn't it? When you get right down to it. We were talking about leadership, weren't we? I was on a committee one time that presented to the town how much they would save if they just did a contract with the fire district, or, you know, annexed, either way, but didn't run their own fire department, and it would save them $90,000 to $100,000 a year. You know, and King said, and somebody, wow, it was only $90,000. What do we care? I mean, that's no big deal. We'll just forget about it. It was worth $90,000 a year. And I even said, as I was standing there, my jaw kind of on the ground, I said, well, $90,000 is real money, King. Yeah.
and you know what? Percentage, well, it might be my money.
Exactly. I don't want to tell you how much of that's mine, but still.
Yeah.
And that was, it's completely about the leaders in the chairs. And it's not at all about anything else.
It is agreed to or shot down, it would have any influence then over this process?
No, because it just dictates how we go about it. It's a course that we go down that wasn't the other one because it didn't happen. But we can do either one. They are truly orthogonal. I mean, they don't influence in that regard.
Yeah, I think the, and I mean, I don't know where the fire district's at, but if I was a fire district commissioner, I would like to be able to look at my options to do a levy lid lift for my fire only without having to do a separate EMS with separate boundaries, so on and so forth.
Well, it looked like their discussion was in favor of it.
Yes, and well, if you look at
the
original agreement that was signed in 2011, it basically said they were going to move forward with annexation, and they haven't yet.
Well, there's a clause in that contract, the contract for service that the town has with the fire district. There's a clause in there that says
where
it expires upon annexation.
Yeah.
Well, you think they were contemplating annexation at that point? I mean, it seems to suggest that.
They're storing long-term relations, including annexation of the town into the district for fire protection services. And so that was in 2011 that they were talking about it. And it hasn't moved since.
But for a long, long time, the town, the council, the manager, and the prevailing attitude.
Oh, the mayor.
By all means.
Has been, we have always done it this day, you know.
Yep.
And
yep.
Change was resisted no matter what it was. We're in a different situation.
And Duncan is on board with this, and I think Duncan can help make it happen. If that's what you want.
Then,
and that's why it's an opportune moment, which he has...
Yeah,
also then, mentioned.
Well, then I think, you know, we go down this path, and if they get it annexed, then it also allows this path to happen as well. And so in our recommendation, this is how you get there without annexation. This is how you get there with
annexation. Right. That's the only option is do we do it with or without annexation?
Right.
You guys should be off annexing.
Right.
You know, get the annexation to happen. That's not my problem. It's not even in my charge.
We recommend annexation.
It would be great if it happened because it makes the other stuff a little easier.
Exactly.
And that's about it.
Okay.
You want it simple. Simple is all we recommend is a lid lift and abandon that levy. That'd be the easiest thing. But we can't do that if they don't annex. So then there's that raises all the other things we've got to deal with then.
Which is actually just one vote, but it's at a majority vote.
Well, the lid lift is a single majority vote if they were annexed. If they have annexed the town, you just do one vote. It's all done. But they have to do the annexation. I'm setting that aside. That's their problem.
Right.
They have to annex. Then we just have to do a lid lift and knock out the EMS levy from the hospital district and everybody's
happy. Right. But then the other vote is that the fire department would get voted in to do an EMS levy. And
not if they do the lid lift to cover EMS and the contract with service. They don't have to do an EMS.
Annexation. I'm saying
if the annexation fails, then they have to deal with the, do we do an EMS levy just like the current EMS levy?
Right.
And that's a supermajority. That's a 60% vote because it's a new levy. But it could include the town that way.
Right.
Or do we do a lid lift and a contract for service with the town to do EMS as well? Which they could also do. That's a second option for how to cover the town.
And then the further option would be to keep the EMS levy under the PHD and contract.
Yeah, yeah. And
they could do that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real expedited we need EMS to be over on fire tomorrow is just do a contract from the PhD to take the money that they raise in their levy to contract for service with the hospital district or with the fire district to provide EMS.
And then you can work for on the governance stuff.
That's probably the simplest solution if you really truly want a simple solution. That's a zero solution.
As long as the fire department agrees to accept it at the rate that they get the money for.
Yes.
Sure. That's right. They would have to accept the financial implication of that cost to them, revenue from the hospital district, you know. Yeah.
But that would allow your guys to jump from boat to boat without having one foot in each thing quickly.
And well, yeah. I mean, we could do that next week, right? I mean,
of course, now we got two boards wrestling with each other.
Well, it's a contract issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, same as the town council wrestling with the fire district. I mean, it's the same issue, but
yeah.
It happens all the time.
Right. So here's a guy who's got a foot in the boat. Unfortunately for him.
I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah.
Such a negative burden.
Slings, arrows, this is normal day at the office.
So the guy who drinks the water and he's got all the holes in
Anyway, so yeah, if you truly want the simplest thing, don't change anything except who does EMS and write the contract.
Right, and the service can be contracted to.
And no votes are required and everything happens. You could even do that as a beginning of the interim process of transition, you know, so that you could get to the point where you then actually move the EMS levy or, which is, of course, a new levy over there.
Right.
Or you do the lid lift if annexation has happened or whatever. You know, the other options come up.
And so, but then they all become employees of the fire department.
Correct. This
whole process.
You move licensure, you do all kinds of that. I'm not sure how that works. They may have to set up their own licensing. I don't really know. I think they might have, fire district might have to do their own license because it belongs to the hospital district. I don't know.
No. They could operate underneath with the same
with a contract,
Medicare, like, Medicaid numbers and so forth.
But, there you go. So maybe it's easier than we know.
But
the levy options, though, we can absolutely figure out. We basically understand them. It's the philosophical issues that we haven't quite resolved.
Well, that's the one reason for maybe not doing this next week with the contract and get it all over there by the end of the month, is we don't have metrics. We don't know if it's going to break anything. We don't know how Chief Norton's, or Collins is going to work out as a EMS chief, even as a fire chief for that matter.
At that point, though.
Well, see, I've been wondering about that all night. You're talking about metrics, right? So that you can see if your new service is better. But if the new service is not better, how are you going to roll it back?
Yeah.
I mean, where is that?
Really, really hard.
Well,
you know, it's easier with the contract for service and leave the EMS levy where it is. Because then you just shred the contract and everybody gets their paycheck from the EMS, from the fire district.
Yeah, but then you're not getting the full benefit or the argued benefit of a merger because you'd be operating separately.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, two different buildings.
Well, you know, they're going to be in separate buildings for a little while anyway because I don't see how they're going to make
an
instant addition. You know, I don't think they have
the only metrics that would be useful would be over a much longer period of time for exactly that reason, among others, because you're looking at...
There's a transition period.
It's things in 5 years.
It would drive the cost.
It would not be cheaper. Yeah, that's true.
You know where the pressure comes from. The pressure comes from if you have measurable outcomes and you have metrics and somebody's not able to achieve those metrics, then it's up to the voters to light a fire under whatever elected board has responsibility for that service and saying...
George, you're going to tell the boards that.
You know.
They should know that. If they don't know that, they're not doing their job.
Yeah,
Metrics
are great. It's just that I don't see how we could change anything that we've done if the metrics aren't. Except, I mean, what you're saying, you know, the public can then use that to get new leadership. And that's a good argument.
Perception of service is one thing. Yeah. And when people see numbers, if I go to a city council... And I say, if you look at this police precinct, by the way, that precinct over there in Orcas, the 72nd precinct, they've got a service level of this. You know, you guys are only getting 13%? Ooh. And you're paying, ooh. Go talk to your taxpayers about that.
And in any contracted service like that, there are those metrics already built in. You have to respond urbanly, you have to respond rurally within so many minutes, you have to have so much on outcomes. You know, there are so many measurable metrics to the contract that, that
maybe not the, contract. Not the town of Friday Harbor's contract. There's not. Let me just say, but there should be, but there are.
We could, and we could actually determine those pretty quickly because the sheriff keeps the metrics and so forth. So we know what response times are.
We can find the numbers for the most part.
Yeah, they claim that they can't, but you know what? The reality is you can spit those.
They used to do run reviews every week or something, and they would know the answer. But I bet those haven't happened.
A lot of stuff before.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to those.
But I just can respond to what you're saying, Nathan, that with an, you know, it seems to me with an interim chief coming in, there's an opportunity to start collecting those metrics now.
Oh, I think we have to.
And then by the time any of this is going to go to a vote, you've got many months, maybe a year of those numbers. And so it is possible to look at least compared to a year and say, are we maintaining at least that level of service in the fire department? And as you guys discussed earlier, if it saves money and the level of service doesn't get any worse, public's better off.
I mean, your basic point that metrics are worthwhile and an advantage, I wouldn't dispute whatsoever. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's just hard for me to figure out how that's going to change the merger calculus, because it's great that EMS is, or fire is doing as well as they were better than 6 months ago. How does that change the merger calculus?
I don't think it changes the merger calculus, but it gives you really critical data going into that merger.
Yeah.
Okay. Which isn't being collected now.
It's more to hold the guy's feet to the fire once the merger happens, because this says, here's what you got to do better than.
It's one of the advantages.
That's more what it's for.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the advantages.
I can buy that argument.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the reason for it, is we think it's been pretty bad, but we don't really know in the current management. Yeah. So let's move it someplace and tell that management, you got to beat these numbers or you're failing, and they should know that.
Yeah. One of the goals of the process is trying to build a view of looking at emergency services over a long run, not just at this moment in time. I mean, so regardless, I mean, hopefully what we're doing is building a new view of how we should be looking at emergency services in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years.
Okay.
So I think George's group, I don't even know what our committee groups are, but I think it sounds like the levy, the process, that kind of thing.
We understand it.
Yeah, we've flushed that.
And we actually understand each of the steps well enough to know that if we go this way, we do this. If we go that way, we do that. I mean, and Nathan has a pretty good timeline.
We have some of, if not a good percentage of the districting issue as well, because there are mechanisms to keep
I just
whole.
Had a thought, though, about the if we say that the Outer Islands will just contract, it's actually going to have to be, if it's going to be an interlocal agreement, there has to be some agency.
And what's the contracting agency?
Yeah, who's the contracting agency that's going to do an interlocal with the fire district to get service? I don't think they exist out there. So, you know, Joe Blow can't come walking over here and say, look, I've got a house out on, you know, somewhere, John's or something, and I want to have fire service.
So we probably need to fly.
How much?
Victoria and Cindy are interested.
I'm negotiating with Anacortes and Victoria.
We need to flush on that so that we don't.
Yeah, we should do the research on that, but I don't know that we actually can offer them a contract until they have formed a local agency, which means they could be the, you know, Cactus Island Association.
Homeowners Association.
Well, it can't be just a homeowners association. It has to actually be a local agency, I think. So it has to be a district of some sort.
A district of some sort.
So,
okay.
So a water district can do it.
And if you've ever dealt on substantive issues with those Outer Islands, I am confident there would be no problem.
No problem.
To create such an issue.
So Dick just volunteered to go do Waldron. I know you did. I'm surprised you're still alive. Sorry.
So we digress. Come the hurdles, then it just becomes the decision.
Yeah.
And it becomes,
well, it's a mechanical process once we decide what we think ought to be done and in what order and when. So,
and how we package that up.
And the messaging, I think, actually follows most of that, you know, how you present that publicly and to the boards and stuff. We package it once we've decided more of this.
The Mylene, when she talked to us, she said that you can't have a district that goes outside of the, you can't have a levy that goes outside of your district, which is why, you know, fire can't have the EMS levy as it currently is constituted.
Right.
She didn't say, though, that you couldn't have multiple levies within your district covering different areas. And that's why I raised the question of, could you have a separate outer island levy if they wanted coverage? Because they would have to pay more, because it's more expensive.
So they'd could have you to have, form an outer island district.
Well, it would be if the boundaries of the fire district covered the outer islands. Well,
they don't.
If you could, if they don't, but if they did,
yeah.
And you had a levy that covered this island and then a separate levy that covered the outer islands, both underneath that fire district. I think that's actually permissible.
I think it's a legality.
No, I think what you have to do is you have to have another district for those islands, and that district can get a different rate than the other district, which is the big island.
But if you're in one district, everybody in that district.
But everybody in one district gets the same rate, so we'd have to have another district. And that's what I'm talking about in forming a local agency. I don't want to go there.
Right.
Not even going to raise that.
And I don't even know how many islands, so I think we
they're the little ones, right?
But we're not abandoning them if that were the case. If we were to, you know, let go of that outer island territory, we could say, well, if you form a fire district, come to us, contract with us, we'll help provide
that
service.
That's a good answer. Form a district, and then your district can contract with us. We'll be more than happy to be able to hear from them again. Decatur will do it.
Yeah,
it makes it their
Decatur's going to, of course, they're going to probably set up their own fire district and buy a fire engine, I guess.
Yeah, and they're apparently well down the pathway to doing that. But if you kept the current EMS levy and brought it over by the unanimous, that keeps the outer islands then.
Well, no, what you do is you pass a new EMS levy that covers the same territory as the current.
Right. But it's the current.
If you did that, if the fire district passed a levy to cover the same
territory,
geographic area that the current EMS levy does,
the same amount of money.
For the same amount of money, yep.
Then there is really no loss of that. There is an option
to keep those. The difference there is, since that would be a whole new levy and you have to, and the fire district has to run, you'd probably be better off just getting a contract with the public hospital district to use that money that they're already raising from that very same area with that very same amount of money and shovel the money over to the fire district to do it. Just do a contract. You don't have to go to a vote of the people and pass a 60% to get the levy to be collected by the fire district if that's all you're going to do.
Right.
You just have it collected by...
collected by the same levy that's currently being done now in the hospital district.
And
the EMS money goes over there.
So
they do a contract.
Let me ask you then if...
We only take half.
Good luck with that.
I'm kidding, for the record.
Yeah. Thank you.
The ownership of the levy,
mm-hmm.
Is there any ties to the levy ownership that... that the fire department relinquishes, or is it built into the contract what are liabilities?
There's one tie that is not trivial for the EMS levy. If they stop collecting the EMS levy, the loan on the building
is called immediately. Right.
And they have to come up with some scratch there.
Yeah, except the bank's going to...
Well, they either refinance or they've got enough in reserve or whatever it is that they're going to do. Because it's not as big a number now they've sold the other medical centers.
And the worst thing is that they just have a different interest to...
But that's the only tie that is triggering, you know, by saying...
Right.
But what it suggests, though, is that by doing a contract between hospital district and fire district so that the fire district now provides EMS service, is they're still collecting the EMS levy in the hospital district. So the loan will be called.
The loan will not be called?
That's right, because they're still collecting the levy. And the levy is the only thing that, you know, the bond for the building
is tied to.
So as long as they collect the levy...
Yeah, it could just be tied in the contract that...
That amount of money they pay for the bond is coming out of this before we shovel the money over to the fire district.
Right.
Yes, you could easily do that in the contract.
Right. And...
Well, we could sell them the building.
Of course.
You might consider giving it to them.
We'll give you a good deal. We'll
give you a really good deal.
Oh, on a free boat.
So let me ask you a question, though. George, if you don't do that, then you don't find the synergies in the financial side, correct?
If you don't do the transfer from...
the levy, or do you do a reduction in the levy, in the EMS levy?
Well, I wouldn't reduce anything until the transition period is over, because you're not going to save any money for a few years.
Right.
I mean, let's face it.
But once the transition's over.
Yes, then you would reduce. Well, by then the levy is going to be up for renewal anyway. Right. Levy's only got a couple more years before you're going to have to decide what do you want to do.
It's 2022.
2022 is the
term. It expires.
So early in 2022 or late in 2021, right. You're going to need to start running some continuation levies. So if you said it's late 2021, you've got, you know, 2 years and a half, maybe.
Maybe even earlier than that with how things have gone recently.
Well, given we don't know what the world will think of either the hospital district, EMS, or the fire district, or anything else by then. Yeah, I don't know how long you're going to take to pass another levy.
Yeah, we don't even know what home evaluations or any, you know, property evaluations.
That's kind of be material.
I
mean, that's
if there's a reduction. Yeah, but if there's a reduction, then the value of dollars is less, and so then at the end of the day,
you're talking reduce asset value.
Asset
down.
Value, yeah, diminishes.
Well, we've got quite a bit of room between now and the statutory max.
I think there's
about 10% room. So okay. Even a pretty bad recession would be all right. It's 40% right now.
That's less of a concern than another housing, you know, crisis hits.
Because that did happen. I mean, if a housing crisis hits, we've got a whole other problem. But
yeah,
that was in the chart that.
Oh yeah, you missed John this last week. John Kulseth gave us.
That's this chart here. Okay.
You need to see that.
Yeah, if you haven't looked at that, you should look at it, because it shows in 2012 the values of the levy did max out up because it was
a 35 cents. We have a collection of those units.
Okay. Perfect.
Chuck saved them for you, and I emailed some of them.
Okay.